He struts like John Wayne, resembles Jim Carrey, and dresses like he's visually impaired. Because he is. Insight. Insight with Mark Farrell on the Progressive Radio Network.
Vaccine. Once you're dead, then that's a bit too late.
You gotta love Dolly Parton, man. How cool is that? She's getting a shot on camera and singing. Oh, man, Dolly, you rock. And also, she donated $1 million to Vanderbilt for COVID research for Moderna. I mean, she is just on board. She's been on board the whole time, and really, really good for her, man, because she's just trying to keep everyone in the country, everyone in the world safe. And why not use your fame and celebrity status to convince people to get a shot and to be safe? Hey, it's Mark Farrell. Yes, it's Thursday. It is a gorgeous day. It definitely feels like spring is in the air. Well, I always feel like March, man, you're not safe in the Northeast in March until like it's over, because we've gotten very, very good dumpings of snow in March before. So fingers crossed. But here's the telltale sign, though, for me. I woke up yesterday morning. It was even more glorious than today. And there were birds chirping. So that tells me Mother Nature may be bringing on spring early. I don't know. That's just my gut feeling. We got a great show coming your way. Jessica Stewart, you're going to meet her. She's the co-founder of Women's Insider Network, WIN, that was created at the end of 2020, a phenomenal organization positively impacting women globally. And we're going to meet her and talk about just the initiative that is just changing perspectives and giving women all across the world more self-confidence, more self-esteem, and reason to go get whatever you want in life. We'll also talk about how Texas is opening their doors for business at 100%, which I don't get. Talk about Bruce and a bunch of different things. But first thing I want to talk about is the Paralympics. I'm so psyched. They are going prime time. So the Paralympics are the Olympics for persons with disabilities that, in my opinion, are just phenomenal. I love the Olympics, but the Paralympics to me just really resonate with me as an athlete, as a person with a disability, and as a global platform. So this is the first time for the United States to ever have primetime coverage of the Paralympics. So yes, thank you NBC, thank you Paralympic Games, thank you America in advance for embracing this incredible, incredible event that's going to be happening August 24th through September 25th. Oh, my birthday. Oh, very cool. And it always follows the Olympics. Why does it always follow the Olympics? Well, yeah, it's a huge start that the Paralympics are prime time because, number one, that everyone in this country, everyone in the world will be exposed to the extreme athleticism these athletes possess. I mean, you're going to see canoeing, cycling, equestrian, what else do they have? Judo, powerlifting, swimming, table tennis, wheelchair basketball, wheelchair fencing, wheelchair rugby, yeah, and wheelchair tennis, and there's so many different sports. And when you see these athletes just doing what they love, yes, all athletes, when they shine, whether they're professional or high elite amateur athletes like in the Olympics, they are just in their glory. But when you see disabled athletes doing what they do, I'm not sure whether it's the eye of the beholder, myself, or just the fact that there really is an extra glow about what they're doing because they're so passionate. Yes, not only do they live for their sport, but they live in their world of being disabled. And it's not something that can be separated. An athlete who does basketball or triathlon or weightlifting who is able-bodied can turn off that sport and resume their life in any other capacity. But a person with a disability, chances are, that is their life. Whether they're in a chair, whether they're paraplegic, whether they're wearing a cheetah foot, whatever the case may be, blind, deaf, multiple disabilities, they can't turn that off. So I love their passion. I love their commitment. And I love to see them shine because even if they don't win, of course, they want to win or they want a medal, that they're there on that platform showing everyone, yes, you know what? This is what I love to do. And I'm doing it at the Paralympics, Tokyo Paralympic Games. Are the games going to happen? That's the question. I don't know, man. I'm so torn about this because I'd love to see the games happen for the athletes, first and foremost, of course. But is it safe? Are we really going to be that safe? We're going to be talking about the vaccine and how Biden is 2 months ahead of schedule. That's what the White House announced yesterday. So he's saying that by the end of May, everyone in America will be vaccinated. And that's great. But globally, man, I think that's where we're going to run into a lot of trouble, because not only is the money not there, the ability to expedite everything globally. So I think that is a Herculean task that some countries can't even wrap their head around it. So organizations, platforms need to be created so that can happen. And I imagine there are strict policies in place for the Olympics and Paralympics. I hope there are. If that's the case, the protocol, and would there be audiences? I know this hasn't been determined yet, but I don't think there should be audience members, crowds, audiences watching the Olympics or Paralympics, because we're just going to be opening Pandora's box, man. It's not going to be cool. So if we have the games, I'm for it, but a lot of protocols need to be in place. Athletes need to be safe, and it's not that easy to do, man. We're talking thousands and thousands and thousands of people that make the games go on. So I don't know. It's a huge, huge endeavor. And I'm really, again, happy that it's going to be on prime time so the world can see this. But also, that's step number one. Step number two, huge progress right there. I don't want to minimize the huge progress there. But the next step I'd love to see is that have the Paralympics before, precede the Olympics. And I'll tell you why. Because I think people get oversaturated. So if the Paralympics always follow the Olympics, people may wane in their interest, be like, oh, that's cool, it's prime time, but you know what, I'm just over watching athletes perform. I need to move on to my Schitt's Creek or whatever show or whatever, you know, network or whatever series you're into. So I think if the Paralympics precede the games, there's much more passion, much more excitement, much more of a lead up. And even if they rotate every 4 years, Paralympics first, Olympics first, just flip-flop, leapfrog. And I think that'll do a lot for interest. I think it'll be a great thing for sponsors, for networks, because it'll be just a great way to promote the games while the Paralympics are on and feature these indomitable, intrepid athletes that just want to excel in their sport. And how could they not, right? So yeah, I'm just really, really psyched the Paralympics are prime time. Thank you to NBC, man, because I'm sure that was not an easy conversation to have over many, many months, maybe a year or two or three, a long time in the working. And just to let you know that you are going to be making a huge, huge population, the disabled community and their families and friends, immensely, immensely happy with this decision. Very, very psyched about that. So speaking of happy, not sure who's happier, Bruce fans, Bruce or Jeep, now that it's abundantly clear that the boss was not hammered at Sandy Hook. So yeah, you know, a few weeks ago, he was arrested for DWI. And I remember seeing the alcohol blood content level, and I'm like, what? That doesn't seem right. It seems very, very low. So just to refresh your memory, he was in Sandy Hook, a great, great picturesque Eden-like place in central New Jersey, along the shore. And there was like pretty much nobody around. In the wintertime, you pretty much can take a nap in the middle of the road and wake up and be like, oh, okay, here I am, because it's that quiet. So after throwing a shot of tequila back, supposedly with a fan, a cop came by and arrested him with an open container, all that jazz, blah, blah, blah. So apparently the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of New Jersey said they were dropping the two driving-related charges because tests showed Mr. Springsteen's blood alcohol level was under the legal limit. So DWI and reckless driving charges dropped. Oh, yeah, Bruce, I'm sure you can take a sigh of relief, because was it a big deal? Yeah, even though if you don't think it is, I mean, he's an icon on a universal global level. Was a DWI charge a big deal? I mean, look at all the rock stars. Look at all the celebrities that have done so many bad things on countless levels. So a minor DWI charge? No, but you know what? He's very vocal politically. Whether you agree with him or not, I tend to mostly agree with him. I'm not a huge Bruce fan in terms of his music, but being from Freehold, New Jersey, and having a lot of different tentacles in my family related to somehow and or knowing Bruce, you know, I've always admired who he is, his work ethic, his determination to touch people through music. I mean, that's just a powerful thing. How could you not appreciate that? Yeah, I'm a Bruce fan. I'm not a diehard Bruce fan, but I'm really happy to see that this is something that's not going to linger and that the two major charges are dropped. Because number one, I was thinking about his mental health. He's been very candid about his depression. And I was thinking, you know, during this COVID life that we're living, I mean, any little thing can send someone in a downward spiral. So, God, I wouldn't want to see that to happen to anybody, let alone Bruce Springsteen. Yes, he's got boatloads of money. Yes, he's got doctors at his disposal. But depression is depression, man. It's not something you can just fix with a few sessions with a doctor. It's medication, it's therapy, it's time, it's processes. It's so involved. So I'm really happy for Bruce. So Bruce, you deserve a shot of tequila. You deserve a bottle of tequila with Patty and just Uber it, man. Just have one of your flunkies drive you around, your kids, your wife, anybody. Just stay out of trouble, my man, because obviously Jeep would be happy. Your fans would be happy. I just thought of this right now. Maybe a good song will come out of all of this. I think it'll be cool. Obviously, there was a great song called Sandy, so maybe this will be part two, like Sandy Hook. So after this great conversation you're going to hear with Jessica Stewart, I'm going to be talking about Texas Governor Greg Abbott. We'll be talking about sports, how they're resuming in my household and maybe yours, and what is a healthaholic? Yeah, all that's coming up. Jessica Stewart, I had the pleasure of meeting her about a decade and a half ago through a good friend of mine, Lori, her sister. And she's been a trailblazer on many levels in the business world. And now she's living her dream. She's the co-founder of Women Insider Network, known as WIN. And she and her co-founder, Eric Maurer, have started this organization at the end of last year. And have had incredible success then. And this is the reason why. Jessica, welcome to the show. And congratulations on starting such a vital program.
Thank you so much for having me, Mark. It's a pleasure to be here with you today and tell you about the Women Insider Network that my partner, Erica Maurer, and I started and launched in December 2020.
So I imagine that with all your experience as a successful sales administrator for top companies, this must be something that was always lingering in the back of Jessica Stewart's mind. Like, you know what? One day I'm going to create something for all women to benefit from.
Totally. I mean, I've been surrounded by powerful women my entire life. I started my career at two top cosmetic companies, Estee Lauder and Chanel, founded by unbelievable women. And I knew that my dream could always be big. And obviously, you know, doing sales and marketing, I always wanted to help women be their best. And with the pandemic, with everything going on, we finally had a little bit of extra time on our hands. And we said, why not now? So that's when Eric and I put our heads together and we said, let's launch this.
Now. Excellent. Excellent. WIN, of course, as you mentioned, Women Insider Network, and founded on the belief that women, when they gather, connect, and share, incredible things happen. Yes, they do. And you're making that happen. As a matter of fact, it didn't seem like you wasted much time because your first event was just weeks after you founded WIN.
Yes, we think big here. And when we put our minds to something, we can get things together quickly. Our first summit we had in December, and we had about 30 phenomenal women speaking on sales and marketing and mindset and social media. And then we came right back in January and we had 30 additional speakers and we had about 2,500 women opt into the event. So over the course of the weeks, we had about 2,000 to 2,500 people come in and listen and gain knowledge and strategies that can help them in their business and their lives.
So now this is pretty amazing because you're also VP of marketing for EMRG Media, which is Entertainment Marketing Resource Group. So this all comes to fruition because to be able to pull off something of this caliber takes a lot of doing, a lot of legwork. But obviously your caliber of experience allowed you to execute this effortlessly. Well, we can't say effortlessly within a short period of time, but to amass this amount of speakers with their resumes is, you know, no easy feat.
Yes. I mean, EMRG Media has been producing events for the last 20 years.
Wow.
We were producing in-person events. And then obviously when March hit and the pandemic hit, we had to move a lot of our in-person events virtually. So Erica Maurer, my partner, has been, you know, one of the top event planners in New York City for a very long time. So since April, I would say we've done about 70, 75 virtual online events. So when we produce the Women Insider Network events, we knew how we can put on not just a Zoom meeting, but a real production where people can walk away feeling that they were sitting, you know, in an in-person theater watching some of the top speakers in the world.
So now that the second challenge has passed, Win 2021, you see the things that you've built, you've amassed, all these different speakers, the thousands of followers that you have for Win. How positive do you feel walking away from this? And how emboldened are you and your partner, Erica, to create, obviously we're going to talk about future events they have on, but just to see in such a short span of time, the great success and insight you've built.
Well, when we started this, we said, what is our mission? And our mission is to impact and inspire 100,000 women to have a better everyday life. So we have curated some of the best speakers, from a Sharon Lecter to a Tamsin Fidel to a Heather Dubrow, and really across the spectrum, powerful women that can change the lives of many. So we know that we are going to hit that goal and probably surpass it in the next couple of years.
Jessica, how do you define a powerful woman?
So I think a powerful woman is somebody that is confident, that's somebody that's creative, that's somebody that is fearless. I think that women oftentimes may get a door closed on them, but you really have to keep knocking down those doors. I've been inspired, like I mentioned before, by many women that, you know, were told no. I've been told no many times. And I think that if you have that gut feeling that you can do something more, go for it.
With your years at Estee Lauder and Chanel, was it predominantly women in terms of the skewing of the demographic of men to women, women to men ratio?
Yes. So working obviously at cosmetic companies, you know, you're surrounded by women. Estee Lauder started this cosmetic business in her kitchen. Coco Chanel was, you know, still is, you know, she obviously has passed for some time, but her brand, they're both iconic brands.
Absolutely. So when you were working at those organizations, talk about a different sort of circumstances, competition within women. Do you think it's different than competition within men, the ranks?
I think it depends on, you know, who you surround yourself with in business and in life. I've always, you know, wanted women to succeed. You know, you always say if a woman has, you know, lipstick on her cheek, just wipe it off. Don't make a big deal out of it. You know, don't make her feel bad about it. I think I was in settings where we did always push each other to do our best, but I know in a lot of situations there can be a lot of competition with men also, with men also. I think if we all just come together and know that we can all help each other, I definitely think the world would be a better place.
It's also a source of being fueled though. Of course, you know, when you have a synergistic environment like that, especially when it's sort of in the world of fashion, I mean, makeup is fashion to me. Is that correct or not?
Yes. Yes. My mom always said, never leave the house without lipstick.
Well, talk about your mom, because I imagine she's a source of inspiration.
Yes. So, you know, I've always looked up to my mother. She raised my sister and I to believe that we can do anything. My sister is hearing impaired. So watching her grow up, having to work harder than anybody else, you know, she always pushed me to be my best. I've seen a lot of doors close on her, but she really is somebody that I look up to because she never let her disability define her. She really made it an ability to excel. You know, she was a number one tennis player at the university that she went to. She spoke at her graduation. She's a constant role model for people in her community and people not in her community. So I think being surrounded by my sister and my mother always pushed me to be a better human being.
I have the pleasure of knowing your sister, Lori, and she's certainly a trailblazer on many, many levels. And your mom as well. I met her, I think, probably like 15, 18 years ago.
Right.
But still, you know, it's funny when you meet somebody and they just always have a glimmer in their eye. And mm-hmm. when you have a great positive interaction with somebody, even if it's only 30 seconds, it's always mesmerizing to me how it can always last.
100%. And that's also why we wanted to create the Women Insider Network, because we want to have that impact. Erica and I, we feel that we are relatable. We've been in business for a very, very long time. And if we can share our knowledge and our strategies with the women that are part of the WIN community, we know that we're doing something right. I mean, we strategically bring in different speakers that can talk about many different things that a lot of these women might not ever have access to. So we're taking our relationships that we've garnered for many, many years and bringing this to our community.
Isn't it just amazing the world we live in now, Jessica, that you can attain all these incredible speakers and have them located all over the world mm-hmm. and bring them to one spot and execute an event and empower people?
Yes. I mean, that's what this is all about. Some of the people for our event, you know, not only the speakers have come from all over the world, but the attendees, we've had people from Africa, London, Japan. And the fact that, you know, we can do this all on our computer, where in person, people might not be able to afford a flight or get away from their family, but they can turn on their computer in their kitchen or their living room and be empowered. This is what it's all about.
And one of the speakers you had on was Sharon Lecter. She's an entrepreneur, international speaker. She's everything, like best-selling author, philanthropist, expert, financial literacy, and entrepreneurial success coach.
Yes, she's a phenomenal speaker. And that just shows you, you know, she has had a lot of fame and success.
Sure.
But one thing that she did say that resonated with me was you have to serve your community. Money and everything is great, but if you're not serving your community, you're not doing a great job.
And I think that crosses gender lines, because no matter who you are, I think it's a responsibility. This is Mark Farrell's perspective. And I believe, you know, we have to give back because it takes a village.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a great quote. I watched many of the great speakers that you had on your platform, but I like when Sharon Lecter speaks about identity and reaching goals. So let's take a listen to Sharon right now.
We can't control everybody else. We can't control the economy, but we can control ourselves. We can control what we listen to. We can control what we think. We can control what we say, what we type, what we text, and therefore we can control the outcome. So a mindset of happiness can create a life of happiness, but a mindset of envy will never get a life of happiness. And when it comes to someone else, you can't control someone else, but you can control how you react to them. And that was the greatest lesson. My husband and I have been married 40 years. It took me a while to learn that lesson. Really wanted to change him. Then I realized, you know, I can't change him, but I can change how I react to him. And that's a huge, huge lesson in any relationship. And stand in your own power. As women, we try to put our, you know, we've been taught, many of us have been taught to put ourselves last. So when I'm speaking to a group, I always have them say, who are you, right? List your identifiers, one word. You can do that right now on your piece of paper. Who are you? All right, when I did it, I had mother, grandmother, accountant, author, CPA. Most of you who have done that and actually followed through on it probably didn't write your own name down. And whenever I do this around the world, less than 2 out of 100 people will actually write their own name down, because we are so accustomed to judging ourselves through the eyes of others. We judge ourselves through the roles we play. Huge lesson, one that I am still trying to learn. So along the way, I've learned more and more that if I'm a better Sharon, then I'm a better wife, mother, grandmother, author. And self-care is so important, and understanding to stand in your own power and others will want to be aligned with you.
So, yeah. What do you think, Jessica? I mean, just so eye-opening, inspiring, and that, I mean, it sounds very simplistic, but sometimes it's easier said than done to put aside our busy schedule. But if we incorporate aspects of just who we want to be and everything we do, it's not something we have to even think about.
Exactly. Exactly. I think if it just becomes second nature to you, that can change everything. It could change your life. It can change your business relationships. If you want to give out good, you're going to get it in return. And it doesn't have to be big. It could just be, I want to introduce you to this person. And it can change somebody's life.
As a person who started a speaking business 9 years ago, that would be me. I find that not only is it something that I need to do as a volunteer, it's mandatory to put myself out in the community. I mean, I never even thought twice about not doing things for free, but it's mandatory, I think, regardless of the industry and business you're in, to put yourself out there, obviously for the nature of giving back. But and you'll soon discover is when you give back and when people give back, it does come back in tenfold.
1,000%.
So many different levels.
I totally agree with that. I totally, totally agree with that.
Jessica Stewart's my guest. The show is Insight on the Progressive Radio Network. My name is Mark Farrell. Jessica Stewart is the co-founder of Win Women Insider Network, and along with her partner, Erica Maurer, who's the co-founder. So you're the VP of marketing at EMRG Media. You come together with this just amalgamate of information and experience, which is just amazing. Talk about Erica. You said she's one of the top planners, event planners in New York City. Together, you must just be like a powerhouse of experience and insight.
Yes. So like I said, she produces events in the real world with top Fortune.
The real world. I love it.
The real world. Yes. So live events, sure, if you will. So she's been producing events for the last 20 years for top companies, Fortune 500, Fortune 1000. So when we had to tell everybody, we live in New York City, so all of our events were in New York City. So New York City completely shut down. So people were definitely scared. They didn't know what to expect from a virtual event. And I think with all of her experience producing live events, both small and large, she was able to create that live event feeling on the computer. And, you know, not only have we booked one event with, you know, a certain company, we produced 70 events over the course of the few months, and now they're all rebooking again because that 70, yes.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yes. And now they're all rebooking, because even when the world opens up, there will be that hybrid element, I think.
Yeah, why not? Because I imagine it's much easier to execute in terms of logistics because it's obviously taking place online. I imagine you're just limited by imagination and creativity.
Exactly. Exactly. And EMRG Media, we're a full service event planning company. So we do everything. So all the creative elements that we did live, we have transformed them into the virtual world.
And that's interesting, because when you have an event like Women's Insider Network, when you build these different challenges and when you invite different speakers like Heather Dubrow, I mean, people know her from The Real Housewives of Orange County, but obviously she's got a great television past because what was she on? That's Life back in 2000-ish, I think. She's a big name. So this is a great collision of worlds, entertainment, different perspectives of the business world, leaders, community, voices that I think is imperative, because when we think about the world that we live in, I mean, we hope it's getting a little less complex as of this past January 20th. But what a time of bias, uncertainty, sexism. I always said, but in the last 8 years or so, that I always felt that we were a nation that was much more evolved on so many different levels, less racism, less hatred in this world. But obviously those covers got pulled back and we realized that there is a fair amount of ugliness, more than I ever knew existed. And I think that with the role of the former president, number 45, escalated And the fact that it's okay to be sexist. He didn't come out and say that, but his actions in so many different ways led many people to believe that was acceptable. So myself as a man with three siblings that are women, very, very successful, a mother who decided to leave her husband after 25 years in a time and era which was inconceivable, who didn't have enough money to buy a house, who did it and made ends meet working two jobs as a nurse, who led her daughters to believe that, yes, you have to work hard just like anyone else in this world. But that's the household I grew up in. And I think that's a great, great head start I had in life to realize that women are no different from men. They're powerhouses. They can be obviously very effective, if not more effective in many different ways. And I'm glad to see that there's a platform like WIN. So women who don't have that, who maybe grew up in a household of men, that, and I can't say that wouldn't be the same environment for a household of men, that would be very proponents of empowered women, but maybe not.
Yes, I think because sometimes, I don't want to say just women, but anybody, you know, maybe where they're from, or if they were able to afford schooling, or like you said, their environment, we wanted to bring people knowledge of sales and marketing, mindset, morning routine, social media platforms that they might not have had exposure to and have not maybe not been able to afford to go to school. They can join our network and attend our challenges. Our next challenge, the Aim for Excellence Challenge, it is a free challenge on March 18th through the 24th, where people can come in, and that's what we want all of these women to do, is aim for excellence. And if they might not know about sales and marketing or have no idea about social media platforms, they can come to any of our events and gain that knowledge.
You know, it's funny, I was speaking to an industry colleague the other day, and she was kind of horrified on the platform of executing her own business online. And I was kind of surprised in my mind, and I didn't articulate this. I'm like, you're a very confident, you know, established person in an industry that's very cutthroat. And I'm surprised that something so little is that daunting for you, but it's great. So my point is that it's great that an event like Aim for Excellence exists, because we have so many different tasks. You know, we're parents, we're partners, we're volunteers, and yes, we have to run a business as well. So imparting that information on somebody who's strapped for time is really, really key. So how can people connect with Aim?
It's aimforexcellencechallenge.com.
Awesome.
They can go in and register for the event. The speaker lineup will be announced shortly. We have a few surprises, but if you're looking to change your path, change your career, or change your life, this is an amazing opportunity to do that with the Aim for Excellence Challenge.
And you said this is absolutely free.
It's free to come in. Yes.
Fantastic.
There are some amazing VIP upgrades, but if you want to just come in and listen and gain knowledge and write one or two takeaways from these speakers, it is totally free to come in.
Yeah, take copious notes. Heather Dubrow, we talked about her.
Yes.
I went back and watched some of her video, and she, I have to say, I wasn't expecting much, because for some reason, the Real Housewives things just stuck in my mind, thinking like, okay, shallow, vapid, et cetera, et cetera. And I did myself a disservice, but I guess not, because I watched it. And I was very, very impressed with her. And I love this one quote, and I'd like to share this with you, because I'm sure you're familiar with it, because you were hosting the event. But how about the importance and significance of timing and the unpredictability of the life we're in right now and being fulfilled? So take a listen.
When your whole world is a side hustle, it actually really changes things. So what I learned over this period of time is, hey, it's okay. You can pivot. What else can we do here? How can I be more creative? Taking a step back, going, okay, what are my strengths? What is it that I care about? What feeds my soul? Because I think also a lot of people worry about money and accolades more than what's literally going to make you happy. So that's become really important to me too. So learning from Terry was the, you know what? This, my whole life may be side hustles right now. I might not have that one big thing. I do lots of little things, but you know what? It's okay. Take the risks anyway. I just turned 52, which I can't believe, sounds like a big number. But when I turned 50 a couple of years ago, I thought, wow, what does that mean, 50? You know, when I was 25 or 30, that sounded very old. And then now I realize, God, I don't even remember the first 22 years, let's be honest. So 50 just feels like the halftime show. And it feels like, okay, I've learned all of this in the first half of my life. I've amassed this knowledge, this life experience, these jobs, all these things. And now, what am I going to do with it? Because now I'm entering the second half. I can take all that knowledge, all those experiences, and turn it into what? But using that component of what I've learned from many people, especially my husband, is take the risks, because life is short. And that's the other thing we've learned this year, that there is no guarantee. You just don't know. You don't know what's going to happen in life. You don't know what's going to happen in the world. And being happy, taking those risks, forging ahead, this is the right time to do it. If there's never been a right time, it's definitely right now. So those have been big lessons for me. And it's actually relaxed me a lot. But I've learned how to read the universe a little bit better and maybe not stay so strict on the path and kind of listen and see where it's going.
Yeah. So it's about a side hustle. It's about having all these different things at your disposal. But more importantly, you know, you have to be you. You have to be whole, and you have to have the awareness and the belief that you can master these skills, right?
Yes. And Heather, you know, like you said, people knew her from The Housewives, but she's a businesswoman. She is a mom. She's a wife to a very successful plastic surgeon. And when I walked away from that interview, she inspired me to, you know, not be so critical of yourself, and to, she has an amazing podcast also. So she really shared a lot of knowledge with our listeners, and we might be bringing her back for another event because she was so great.
Did you have a mentor in life besides the great role models that you had, your sister and your mom?
When I was, you know, starting out my career, there weren't a lot of female, you know, leaders out there to go to. So now, you know, I'm just listening to a lot of female entrepreneurs like Sarah Blakely, Bethany Frankel, Mel Robbins, Sharon Lecter. Mm. I really try to listen to one positive thing a day from these businesswomen. Even some of my, you know, friends that work at big companies, I'm always trying to learn. I don't think it has to be a famous person that you have to learn from. I just think listening and taking things in, sometimes it's better just to listen and not talk, and really, you know, listen to one piece of knowledge that these people can share with you. And it can, you can incorporate that into any business that you do.
And Jessica Stewart, I think you would concur that business and success has many different definitions. You Yes. don't have to be the founder of your own company. You don't have to be a trailblazer in the world or industry that you're in. But as long as you're content with who you are and not feeling limited and lack of circumstances because of your gender.
I keep saying 100% to you, Mark, but I totally agree with that. I think if you can go to bed at night knowing that you have impacted one person, you did your job. Money, and you're saying, you know, success, that's all great and good. But if you're not helping somebody, then you're not doing your job. Even if, you know, you help somebody across the street or opened a door for somebody or held an elevator, that's something good. And in your career, if, you know, you're making a lot of money, you can donate something to charity. That's doing something good for somebody.
What were the feedback that you received from the thousands of attendees throughout that week?
I knew from the first challenge that Erica and I were onto something. You know, when you do something, you have a dream, and, you know, your hope is to make an impact on people. But seeing people coming in every single day in our busy lives, like you mentioned, people have families, people aren't going to the office, people are juggling maybe their whole entire family, in a home without kids going to school.
Sure.
Seeing these women coming in every single day and committing to changing their lives. And also, we allow some people to do video on our Facebook page, and knowing that we are changing lives, this is what it's all about. I spoke to one of our attendees the other day, and she said, I launched my business and I got my first client because of something that you taught me. And I just looked at Erica and I said, this is why we're doing this.
Mission accomplished.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's the Women Insider Network. And it's, I said, win. That's exactly what we want all of these women to do, is win.
So thematic wise, Jessica Stewart, is some of the concepts you have in terms of what speakers you choose on hardships, things that you've thought about yourself, or hurdles you've had trouble crossing, maybe you and your partner, and or reading of the struggles that are very, very common for women?
Yes, I think just looking out, you know, seeing struggles that women have had in, you know, maybe the corporations that I've worked in, or just talking to women. Now with the change of the economy, a lot of women have been laid off. And, you know, they might be at that stage where I always had a dream and I never had the time to do it. So just listening and talking to women and seeing what their struggles were, besides Erica and my struggles that we've had in the past, we just wanted to create an environment where people can go and learn things. You know, not everybody wants to go back to school or can afford to go back to school. So if they can come to us and we can provide them with some sales strategies or marketing strategies to help them write a business plan, that's why we did it. Because we know that from our experience over the last 20 years, we knew that we can make an impact on all of these women.
And I want to address something a little bit on the casual side, because I think a lot of people get hung up on social media, seeing mm-hmm. all these different people with platforms, and you know, you have to do this and attend this lecture, this series, or attend this program. And I think it's very intimidating. And also, I feel that they feel that if they don't do X, Y, and Z, they can't succeed.
Yes, I think what people need to do is, people can provide you the tools. Somebody can give you 10 sales strategies or 20 marketing strategies or 5 social media platforms to go on. If you pick one or two that you're comfortable doing, that's okay. I always say you always have to do what works for you. Just because it works for maybe somebody on Instagram that has 1 million followers and you're not comfortable doing it, don't do it. Find what's going to work for you and stick to it.
Yeah, that's true, because authenticity is everything, because, you know, a lot of us can do different things. But if it doesn't resonate, man, it's, first of all, it's hard to get out of bed in the morning. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to be as successful as if this is something that really fuels and propels you forward in life.
And people will notice it. If yeah. you're not yourself, mm-hmm. they're not going to believe you.
No.
You can say something that somebody else said on TV, but people are going to see right through it. You have to be authentic yeah. and you have to be relatable.
And there's no hiding. Even though we're living in a virtual world, when I'm watching your speakers, and especially you and your partner, when you're setting up and introducing these days, you are just glowing. You know, there's no denying you're not doing what you're passionate about. And people say the same thing to me. I can hear you over the phone that you love what you do. And there's no denying that. And that's great. And it's wonderful that you founded this platform for that. So a busy first quarter for you guys, March 8th, International Women's Day,
yes.
March 18th, Aim for Excellence. And people can go on to aimforexcellence.com. Wow.
It's aimforexcellencechallenge.com.
Challenge. My visual impairment led me to not read this 24-point font correctly. Maybe yes. It needs to be 38-point font.
Yes, aimforexcellencechallenge.com.
So for the woman and the budding entrepreneur, maybe going into high school, going into college, or just coming out, what would you say as a seasoned businesswoman for sage advice?
I would say try many things, because what you think you might want to do might not be what you end up doing. I always say take an internship. learn. And if they tell you to go get coffee, go get coffee. Don't think that you're, you know, too big to do anything. And you have to go after what you want. If you're doing an internship maybe, and you're not given a lot of responsibilities, walk up to somebody's desk, ask them if they need help. That's something that I did once. You know, I was sitting, I had a lot of downtime, and I literally walked up to the VP's assistant and I said, I'm interning down the hall. Is there anything that you need me to do? So go for it. Be a sponge and learn everything.
Great advice. Initiative is gargantuan. I did the same thing, Jessica, when I started in radio. I would just hound people left and right, and it paid off. I got a job, and 30 years later, I haven't looked back. Well, I've looked back many times, actually.
Right.
What the heck am I doing in broadcasting? But I love it.
But it's something that you wanted to do, so you knew that you would do anything to get there. And I think that that is what a lot of people have to do. I think that that's what women have to do, unfortunately. I'm hoping down the road that it's not top male entrepreneurs, top female entrepreneurs. It's just top entrepreneurs, that there's no difference in a few years.
Jessica Stewart, co-founder of WIN, Women Inside Our Network. All the best to you and your partner, Erica. Thank you
so much for having us.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a big year for AIM, and hopefully for you. And check them out at aimforexcellencechallenge.com, aimforexcellencechallenge.com. And thanks for checking out Insight right here on the Progressive Radio Network. My name is Mark Farrow. And Texas Governor Greg Abbott, really, come on, lifting mask mandate and opening the state at 100% next Wednesday? Because why? Biden said that, okay, by the end of May, Americans will have been vaccinated. Well, that's great. And that hopefully is the case and will come true. But it's a lofty goal, number one. And even if that is the case, why would you preemptively make this decision? Oh, I know why. Because you're really good at handling crisis events and situations. Like a few weeks ago, when Mother Nature wreaked havoc on much of Texas, and you handled the situation so expeditiously, so efficiently, and so professionally. No. I don't think so. Even if you had handled that situation perfectly, there's no controlling a virus of this epic proportion. Why would you risk harming people, putting people at risk so you can open doors? Listen, I get it. Everyone gets it in terms of people are losing money. People are losing their homes. People are losing their businesses. But at what cost? Do you take one step forward to take three steps back? One step forward to risk the lives of 10, 20, 50,000 people in Texas? I don't get it. Believe me, I don't discount the incredible pressure leaders are under statewide, countrywide, globe-wise, to open the doors, put the open for business sign on, and let things happen and resume some sort of normalcy or get back to life as we know it. Yeah, I totally get that. But we can't risk having a major setback, especially if there's a variant involved. Hopefully people will be like, you know what? I'm good. I'm still going to wear a mask. I'm still going to abide by CDC policies and recommendations because you know what? I'm an intelligent human being. Speaking of intelligence, my 8-year-old said to me last night, right before she was going to bed, she said, Dad, are you a healthaholic? And I started laughing like crazy. I'm like, healthaholic? What do you mean? She goes, well, every day you have a salad. I'm like, oh, we're having this conversation again. Believe me, you don't think I'd rather have a slice of pizza, a burger, some pasta, you name it, over a salad? Yes, every day I would. But what do I tell you I'll have a salad for? She goes, I know you want to be healthy. That's why you're a healthaholic. And you know what? There could be much worse things in life than be known as a healthaholic. Believe me, when I'm opening the cupboard late at night and grabbing that big bag of chocolate morsels I get from one of the box stores, that's I don't know how many pounds, and sticking my hand in there and coming out with a fistful, am I a healthaholic then? No. When I buy a fountain soda, rather a Coke at Wawa or any place that has tap sodas because they taste so good, especially McDonald's, Coca-Cola, whoa. No, I'm not a healthaholic. But I work out 5-6 days a week. I have salads most days of the week, 5-6 days a week, because, hey, I'm not getting any younger. First and foremost, I'm an athlete. I like to keep my tempo nice and lean and mean. I love to cycle, and I bought a spin bike. I think I told you guys months ago, I bought an indoor spin bike because pre-COVID, I used to teach spin 3 days a week at 6 a.m. Yeah, I can't believe that, 6 a.m. I can't even wrap my head around that now, to a full and packed class, and we had a blast. So yes, it keeps me sane, and it staves off weight gain, and I want to take care of the tempo. And also, I want to make sure no plaque builds up in this coconut of mine. Yeah, my brain. I want to make sure I age appropriately, not prematurely due to dementia, any cognitive diseases that can happen, because I'm prone to that. A lot of us are. So whatever we can do, right? So am I a healthaholic? No, I do my best. And I hope you do your best because, man, it's been so challenging, right? Over the past year, to not give in to just, you know, saying, you know what, the hell with it. I'm trying to keep safe. How do I keep fit? I don't go to a gym. I don't have a gym at my disposal. I'm not a runner. I'm not a walker. What am I supposed to do? And you end up sitting on a couch and gaining 10, 15, 20, 30 pounds. I know it's easy, right? It's hard, man, to be motivated to stay fit, even just to maintain a proper diet. I totally get it. But, you know, do whatever you can. One step at a time, one meal decision at a time, one healthier decision at a time, and you'll be putting yourself in the right decision and or right space to be healthier. So with spring, I was bombarded with emails about the sports organization I'm involved with, and the decision to play sports was presented once again. Actually, they canceled the two spring in 2020, they canceled, and fall of spring of 2020, they canceled. So spring 21 is a green light as we speak. So I have been coaching both of my kids' leagues or teams for the past 5-6 years. So my younger daughter said she's game, she'll play. But my son said, nope, not going to do it. Still feel it's not safe. And I totally, totally respect that. And I certainly want some reflection of normalcy and sport, obviously going out there, hitting the fields, getting these kids conditioned again, playing sport, the camaraderie, the fitness aspects, the fresh air and Mother Nature, being outdoors and embracing spring. Yeah, all that stuff. Check, check, check. I want it all, but certainly want to be safe as well. So it remains to be seen in terms of how they're going to execute this. I know they're going to have a very strict protocol about who's allowed on a field, the amount of family members that are allowed, et cetera. So we'll see all that. But how is that going in your household? Do you have kids? Is it your choice? Are your kids making that choice for themselves? Are you a coach? Do you coach? Do you get involved or volunteer on any level? So there's a lot of moving parts. And I wish you all the best, because certainly we do want to get back to it. We want to, you know, live life. We want to be healthy. And yet we want to be safe, because we don't want to, again, take one step forward and two steps back. We don't want to get sick. And certainly I have not gotten a shot. Another reason I'm happy to be young, well, young-ish, so I'm not eligible yet. So we'll see. When I am eligible, I'll be happy certainly to get the J&J shot. Oh, by the way, before I go, I want to mention how cool it is that the White House brokered a deal. I think it was between J&J and Moderna, J&J and Merck, I believe. Obviously, two major competitors, that they're going to help each other make the product, because obviously the assembly lines are vital at this time and period in our life during a pandemic. So I'm really happy that White House brokered a deal, and that obviously both forces are coming together, aligning themselves, obviously for the greater good for the United States and for the world in general. So unfortunately, that leaves us out of time, my friends. Thanks so much for spending your Thursday with me, Mark Farrell. And thanks to my guest, Jessica Stewart, and sharing her great story of when. Got a great show coming next week with a very, very deep insight on mental health. Gary Knowles next, my friends. Keep living and laughing. And of course, I think it's only appropriate to have Dolly take us out with her very clever, ingenious vaccine song. Take it away, Dolly.
Vaccine, 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 vaccine. I'm begging of you, please don't hesitate. Vaccine, 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 vaccine. 'Cause once you're dead, then that's a bit too late.
Insight with Mark Farrell. Check out this and all Insight shows on the Insight page at PRN.FM. PRN.FM. Have Mark speak at your company, your kid's school or college. Mark speaks on critical topics that affect kids and adults everywhere, from anti-bullying, mental health, drugs, and alcohol to overcoming adversity. Visit MarkFarrellMotivation.com for more info. Insight, Thursday mornings at 11 on the Progressive Radio Network.